Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from St. Luke's Gospel account, 9th chapter. Beloved in the Lord, the gospel of our God is on the move. It's mobile, going from place to place, village to village, house to house, home to heart. Wherever Jesus goes, there goes God's Son, there goes God's gospel. He is the good news made flesh. The radiance, the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds all the universe by the word of his power. With each step, Jesus tramples underfoot the enemies of humanity, sin, death, devil. No one is left out. For if in Adam all sin and death has come to us all, so also then through the new Adam many more will be made righteous. There is no longer any distinction. All who are baptized into Christ Jesus, Jew or Gentile, male or female, slave or free, infant or elderly, all are one in Christ. Christ has come for all. Coming for all means he's come for you. So the gospel of our God is on the move for you. He's mobile, going from place to place, village to village, house to house, home to heart, even your heart this morning. The gospel of our God is on the move this morning, and his steps are filled with purpose. He's going to Jerusalem. The time has come for him to be taken up. He will not take the easy way. Nor will he avoid the least of this world's children. At a time when all pious Jews walked around Samaria on the eastern side of the Jordan to avoid Samaria's uncleanness, Jesus instead takes the dirty road. He travels through Samaria. He enters their world, offers himself, stretches out his arm to save them. He does for Samaria what he does for the world. He does for Samaritans. He does for sinners. But they did not receive him because his face was steadfastly set toward Jerusalem. Jesus, they thought, couldn't be for them because Jesus' words and works didn't fit with their theology, what they knew and believed about God. So it is with our world, beloved. We Christians ought not be surprised by the unbelief that surrounds us day in and day out. Though the Lord stretches out his arms to save all do not believe. Many refuse because their hearts are steadfastly set on a false theology. The Jesus of the Bible doesn't fit with what they know and believe about God. Jesus of Holy Scripture, he comes to call people out of their sin, lead them to eternal life through his life, death, and resurrection. But the Jesus that the world knows, he makes no mention of sin, issues no call to change, no call to repentance, and he rewards pious intentions with money, goods, fame, and affirmation. The Jesus the world loves is the wrong Jesus, a false Christ, no Savior, but an idol. And so they remain in their sin, walking the way that leads to their eternal destruction. James and John, they know Jesus, but not the fullness of his heart toward the world. They know their Old Testament. They know their Bible. They love justice, and they despise wickedness. And assuming for themselves the spirit of Elijah, they ask to call fire down from heaven to destroy the lives of these rebellious Samaritans, these rebellious unbelievers who will not receive Jesus. We're not immune to their passions, are we? But the rebellious of this world don't simply say, no thank you, Christ and his messengers, but they persecute the bearers of good news. Keep your Jesus to yourselves, they say. Celebrate our lifestyles, they say. Bake us a cake. Affirm us. Accept us. Receive us. Commune us. Marry us. Give up your traditions, your values, your worldview. Read our books to your children. Surrender your Jesus, follow ours. They call us names, bigots, They blame us for any calamity that befalls them, any attack against their lifestyles. Yes, beloved, in the midst of our culture wars, it's all too easy for us to rejoice at their demise. It's all too easy for us who know the Bible and love Jesus to believe that their death is a good thing. It's all too easy for us to call fire down from heaven into our hearts, fire which consumes all pity for our neighbor's plight. We too must repent, for we know not what manner of spirit inflames us. No matter the circumstances, beloved, no matter what calamity befalls us or our neighbor, the gospel of our God is on the move. Jesus passes through Samaria and our world, neither avoiding nor despising the shame of our uncleanness. With each step he takes, he tramples underfoot the enemies of humanity, for his war is not with men nor against men, but with sin, death, and the dominion of the devil. Therefore, he doesn't wage war with the sword, but with words and works, which atone for sin and liberate men from the passions of their flesh. With each step, Jesus moves nearer to death, bearing in himself the wages of the world's sin. For he hasn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He's not come for judgment, but to be a propitiation, a sacrifice offered once for all humanity, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female, and infant and elderly. You and me. Compassion for the lost and love for the sinner drives him steadfastly towards Jerusalem. And when he arrives, beloved, he does so on a colt, the foal of a donkey, surrounded by pilgrims, waving palm branches, not on a stallion, followed by soldiers with spears in their hands. When sought by the temple guard on Thursday evening, Jesus steps forward, placing himself between his own and the arresting officers. I am he, he says. This is the gospel of our God. Jesus standing before us and judgment. And on Friday, beholding the man, Jesus, he is condemned for all men, all women, all children. Hanging from the tree that Good Friday, he hangs between all men and God as the sacrifice to end all sacrifice. His blood is shed for our atonement. His life is given for our sin. Jesus is bruised for our iniquities. His wounds are the refuge of the weak and the weary. By his stripes we find healing. God's gospel is poured out on Calvary. His love surrendered for his beloved. His mercy lifted up for all to draw near. For the Lord doesn't take the life of sinners, but he offers his own in their place. He doesn't demand the death of the wicked, but he holds forth his Son as the one whose love conquers sin, death, and the devil, destroying the power of all our enemies and triumphing over them when he steps out of the grave on the third day. The gospel of our God remains on the move as Jesus walked with the Emmaus men, opening the scriptures to their hearts. The gospel of our God moved to the upper room where Jesus passed through locked doors and, showing forth his hands and his side, breathed on his disciples the Holy Spirit, forgiving their sins and then sending them on to the move with that same forgiveness to be given to the world, to all who believe and are baptized. This is the message we've heard today. Namely, that for Christ's sake, your sins are forgiven. Believe this and you will live, not just today and tomorrow, but forevermore, because your life has been crucified with Christ, and now the life you live is no longer your own, but it's Christ himself living in you. And though Christ died once, he will never die again. He's the same, yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forevermore. And because he lives, you too shall live, for the just shall live by faith. Faith in the Son of God who loves you and has given himself up for you. The gospel of our God continues to move about from place to place, village to village, house to house, and home to heart. But now Jesus does this moving about through his Christians. You, the baptized, and me, all who believe and have received that baptism, As he sent out his apostles from that upper room, so does he send you to your neighbors. Mm-hmm. The same Spirit breathed on them has been poured out on you through the washing of renewal and regeneration when you were baptized. He's not given you a spirit of timidity and fear, but one of power and love. One that beholds God as a loving Father who desires all men to come to the knowledge of salvation through the truth that is Christ Jesus made flesh. The patience God has shown you, he also shows to the unbelieving world even today. For our God does not desire the death of the wicked, but rather their repentance. Mm-hmm. Repentance is not wrought at the tip of a sword or with the threat of a bomb, but through the faithful preaching of God's word. The culture wars, beloved, are fought with God's word and the preaching of Christ crucified for sinners. You, therefore, are sent back to the world, just as the apostles were sent to Samaria and all the ends of the earth, proclaiming the free forgiveness of sins through Christ. And you do so not by adopting the Jesus of this world, but by leading the world to the adoption of sons offered by God through repentance and faith, which God grants as a free gift in the waters of baptism. Beloved in the Lord, this is what the Jesus of the Bible has to offer sinners. For he has no place to lay his head. His face is steadfastly set towards your salvation and the salvation of all people. And so our text concludes with the call to follow me. For the gospel of our God is always on the move as the Spirit blows when and where he wills. And this morning he's willed to breathe his grace upon you and to cover you with the fragrance of Christ's life. Follow him by faith. Live your life in his Spirit. For if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And the Spirit is always drawing us nearer to Christ and his gifts, and then our neighbor with his love and mercy. Therefore, beloved, walk to this rail this morning. Receive your Savior's heart. And then return to your vocation, taking these gifts to your home, your house, your village, and communities, even to the ends of the earth, wherever the Lord should lead you. For the gospel of our God is on the move for the salvation of men's souls. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.